What's up, guys? It's Wes with Sin City Tactical, and welcome to the Sin City Tactical Show with your co-host, Mr. Jax Cook. What's going
on? How you doing, brother?
It's going good. How about you?
Well, not too shabby.
Good to hear. How's the family?
They're doing good. Yours?
Pretty good, pretty good. From what I've heard, it's freezing up there, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's been chilly the last few days up here, so surprised we don't have any snow yet.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say mini Snowda.
Yeah, oh, you betcha there, bud.
All right, let's jump right into it. So, first things first, SinCityTactical.xyz or MinnesotaOverlanders.xyz. We got a bunch of new stuff up. Check that out. Like, one thing, for example, this is a 5.5 by 5.5 inch Sin City Tactical sticker. We also have some Minnesota Overlanders stickers as well. That's one way that you guys could support the channel so we can keep bringing you this content. If you're new to the stream, we do tactical gear item reviews, some CLS training, which stands for Combat Lifesaver Training. We talk about some Pro 2A news. We talk about USA news, and then we have an open Q&A discussion towards the end as well, and then we leave everybody with a positive message. So, once again, check that out, SinCityTactical.xyz or MinnesotaOverlanders.xyz. Let's go ahead and move right into the...
One alibi for that quick. Now, the show's on many different platforms, but if you go to the website and you're looking around on there too, you'll notice on the homepage of SinCityTactical.xyz, I believe.
Yep.
We do have the Sin City Tactical Show streaming on the website as well.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that. And then we also are on audio podcasting as well. So Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, stuff like that. You're able to find it too. On the homepage of our website, there's going to be this episode's live stream audio on there as well. So if you don't get to catch the whole thing and can't watch the video, you'll have the audio on the website that you can listen to. We update that every week. So when the new episode drops, we'll have the audio on there as well.
Indeed. All right.
Let's move into some shout outs and sponsors. So talking about sponsors, Controlled Pair Munitions, local gun store, 7350 West Cheyenne Avenue, Suite 106 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Most of you guys who are probably watching from the Controlled Pair Munitions Facebook, you know where the shop's at. So come on and check that down. Come down and check that out. Excuse me. I will be posting live streams throughout the day from the shop showing what we have in stock and stuff like that. So stay tuned for that kind of stuff. And then I also want to shout out one of our other sponsors, Wendy from Sight Shooter. She's a personal firearms trainer. She charges per class instead of per hour. Most personal firearms instructors will charge by the hour. Wendy does not. She charges by the class. She usually supplies targets and sometimes ammo depending on the availability of the ammo. I always recommend to bring your own ammo, but she also does supply firearms too sometimes depending on what she has going on. So you got any shout outs, Jack?
Yeah. So one's going to be just kind of a normalized shout out. I want to go ahead and shout out First Person Defender. They're another YouTube show, and they go through simulated scenarios of being in a first person shooter defense style situation. So for instance, and I'm going to move forward after this, you know, they've done scenarios like restaurant robberies or, you know, Uber driver style things where the situation might start out okay, but could turn haywire, and then you have to know how to defend yourself. So like we've said before, it's not just about pulling the trigger. It's about self-discipline and training, training as you fight, basically. So watching those videos will kind of give you a different kind of perspective on how to run a scenario differently from how you normally would do it or think is the right way. Now, the sponsorship, I want to go ahead and touch on this one here real quick. TACX Pro Gear and NCCA. There's a promo code, Overlander25. Overlander25 will get you 15% off your purchases at NCCA. And then 25% off your gear purchases at TACX Pro Gear. So go ahead and use the code, save you some money, and get you some goodies from the website.
Absolutely. All right. Let's move into tactical gear items. And I'll have you start off.
Yeah. So I know I briefly showed it in the last live stream on Sin City Tactical, but now we're going to move on into the actual knife that comes in that Ozark Trail Survival Kit. And so with the Tac Light that you seen last week, it's kind of an entire care package. It comes with a roll of 550 cord, like I said, a machete, a tactical axe, so to speak. It does have hex head mounts on there. So if you needed to bust a bolt loose and didn't have a ratchet on you, you'd have something still to be able to work on things. So for the knife here, though, what I like about it is, you know, you got your regular straight blade there, but then it's got a serrated backing there. Now, the nice part is the serrated backing will easily get you through 550 cord without too much of a struggle. I wouldn't go ahead and use just the regular flat edge on it unless, you know, you were down to the last cord on the inside of the braiding. Now, with that being said, nice little knife. I like the fact that there's 550 cord wrapped around the handle. It's probably about an extra 2 to 3 feet compared to your 50 to 60 foot roll that comes in the kit. So you got a little bit of extra in case you need it. Now, moving forward, all the blades in that package came with their own sheath. I'm probably down the road going to update it, but for, you know, just a base sheath, it's not bad. Belt mounted. It's all sewn into the outer protective casing with a small pocket for like a whetstone or some paper or something. Now, what I really like about it is, granted, the outside's not too flashy. Neither is the inside, but the inside has a bit of a harder core to actually slide the blade. Let's see here. Can I get this in the chat? Slide the blade in there and kind of guide it down into the sheath. Sometimes, you know, if you're not looking, you can slide it behind, and then you're getting into messing up the protective casing. However, I take it and use it at work on the day job side, and I've never missed the actual hard protective casing guide. So it's great for work knife, EDC knife, you know. Definitely something to go think about investing your money in. I think the entire set really only ran me about $22, but overall, for what you get in that kit, it's worth the money you're spending.
Absolutely. So the tactical gear item that I'm going to talk about is an armorer's wrench. This one's unbranded. You can get good ones from like Arrow Precision, stuff like that. If you're into building or you need to do repairs, an armorer's wrench is usually necessary for your AR platform. It's got different little tools on it. Castle nut tightener, barrel nut tightener. Same thing. It's kind of like a crescent wrench, to where you can get on the box end of a hex head and be able to tighten stuff down if you need to. So armorer's wrench, very important to have. I keep this in my range box when I take it with me to go shooting or anything like that, because you never know what's going to happen and you don't want to drive a couple hours away to go shooting or something and then have malfunctions and not be able to enjoy the day. So armorer's wrench, very important. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them at a local gun shop. You can come get them at Controlled Pair Munitions. We've got them there. Definitely a good tool to have in your toolbox. So we're going to move right on into the next topic because this kind of goes with the tactical gear items. And from the last show, if you watched, we talked about during the CLS training that Jax was going to have his IFAC out to be able to go through that a little bit. So we're going to move right into the CLS training for the day.
Indeed. So thank you for reminding me prior to the show that I did bring up having the IFAC with me for this episode. So now, obviously, my overall IFAC is a little wider, bulkier than the small one that Wes showed in a previous live stream, which, you know, his is more like for just the base essentials. And, you know, I'm sure he's got bulkier ones that he keeps in other places for extra medical kits. However, I am running a carabiner on the outside molly on it just in case I needed to clip it to something and didn't have the Velcro back strap that it mounts to within nearby reach and had to just get up and go. I can do that. Now, opening, there's a little pull tab and then a zipper. Now, we've obviously gone over some of the gear in IFACs, starting with the good old cat tourniquet. Now, mine's obviously colored in OCP, or OD green, if you will. For those of you that aren't really familiar with different camo patterns. So, basically, I'm going to give a quick little rundown course of how you do this. You put it on the extremity. Oops, got the combat gauze in there.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
No, not really. So, you want to cinch it as tight as you're going to get it. And then go ahead and twist that windage bar. Now, for sake of training purposes, I'm only going to go one full turn. You put that in your wind clamp there. Snag that over it. Obviously, your extras, you're not really going to have anything to clamp it to exactly. So I'm just going to tuck that out of the way. But you write your time that you put the tourniquet on the little tab there. This way, when they get medevaced out of there, you know, they know what time it was put on. You've got the bleeding stop. The fully trained medical professionals like your Charlie Meds or an actual hospital, they can deal with the injury further once they get brought in. And usually around that time is when the medical professional is going to remove the tourniquet and proceed to do the job that they're getting paid to do. So,
absolutely. Pardon me, Dad. Thank you for showing that. I appreciate you showing that on the stream.
Yeah, no problem, brother. I figure it's definitely something that most people don't have the training in.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have heard of CATS tourniquets or tourniquets in general, wouldn't have any idea how to use it and stuff like that. So it's good that we're able to provide, you know, a little bit of knowledge on the situation. Indeed. So
so then I've got like some moist towelettes here just to, you know, in case you gotta clean up a small little boo-boo. I do have about 4 band-aids in here. You just never know. So we'll go ahead and stick those back in there home. Now we'll go ahead here in this little side pocket. Got a actual antiseptic towelette. Again, kind of ties in with the other cleaning pads and the boo-boo band-aids. Then I got a CPR face shield in here. Now, you know, God only knows if I'll ever actually have to use it, but it's definitely something worth having in there. Helps kind of stop the spread of germs, but makes it able to go over the person's face or mouth area to provide a clean seal for you to proceed to do CPR. Still in the bag, you got a whistle. Never know when you're going to need that. That's kind of just a lifesaver type thing as well. So never know when you're going to need a whistle to try to make contact with somebody or get someone's attention, you know. Got some self-adhesive bandage. So basically the nice part about this stuff is, well, let's see here. I'm not even really going to unravel it. But when you're unraveling it and you're bandaging someone up with this, you don't need it, you know, to look around for sticky tape, medical tape, things of that nature. The bandage actually adheres to itself. So it's just kind of a wrap up and go type thing.
Yeah. So like when you give blood or something, that tape that they put on you.
Yeah, exactly. Which is awesome. And then a splint roll. So basically, you know, you're out in the wild or, you know, you're dealing with a combat situation. You go down, you sprain an ankle or something, and you can't really put much weight on it without any medical attention. You're going to basically just fold it in half and contour it to your leg. You want that part of it up with the front end of your foot. Want your foot on there, and then you want to kind of conform it around the back of your leg and ankle to support it. You can definitely use some of that self-adhering bandage I just showed you to do a base layer tie down and then tie it up with your combat gauze. And we'll move on into your combat gauze here. And I'll fold that up later and put that back in
for time sake. Limbs and stuff, right? You can use that for like your elbow, wrist.
Yep, wrist, hand, things of that nature. It definitely makes a, I'm not going to say cast, but it's a splint.
Yeah.
And then you got your combat gauze, which combat gauze come or compression bandage, excuse me, comes with some combat gauze on the main portion of it. You got a little bit of overlap there. You got your windlass clip. And again, it's almost kind of similar to what I was showing you with the tourniquet, except for, you know, you can actually put this on the wound, but when you're wrapping it on, you want to go ahead and put that bandage in the windlass clip. Oh, and that just broke.
Great. Awesome. That's awesome.
The main idea is once you get it over the windlass clip, you go back the opposite direction, wrap it around, and then clip it together around the ends of your bandage there with your clips. I'll either have to fix that.
So, lesson learned to all the viewers out there, always check your medical gear periodically to make sure it's going to function when you need it.
I think part of my issue was it was out in the cold.
Yeah. Well, when you live in frozen tundra land, it, yeah.
Yeah.
Kills now, batteries, kills medical kits, apparently.
You're right. So, you know, kind of something I threw in to the medical kit. Granted, it's not necessarily medical, but, you know, when you're working on somebody, you want to have some form of sterilization, hand sanitizer, usually kind of a key and pinch way to go. So we were talking about last week, the trauma shears.
Yep.
Good thing to have. Good old emergency blanket. Probably could have used this to keep the gear warm.
That's funny.
Okay, now let's see. That's all that's left in that pocket. Now we got the combat medical gauze. Now I haven't opened this either because I'm trying to keep this sterilized, but the whole end goal of this is it's sterilized gauze that you can pack a wound with, You can put over a wound and wrap up with the lovely compression bandage that you guys just seen break on me a couple of minutes ago. But it definitely helps clot and stop bleeding. So it's always useful to have some of that in your gear as well.
Thank you, John. We appreciate your support.
Indeed.
You can add us on Minnesota Overlanders Facebook or the Sin City Tactical Facebook. We're also on YouTube, Twitch, VK Live, a bunch of different platforms, and then our website, either sincitytactical.xyz or minnesotaoverlander.xyz. But we do appreciate the support.
Indeed, we do. Now, that's basically the basis of what I've got in my kit right now. I definitely am working on getting some more gear for it. I need the nasal pharyngeal kit for your airway, couple other things too. I know, what was it? A sucking chest wound. You obviously want to create a seal. This way, you're able to actually breathe under your own power instead of struggling to get air. So there's things that I got to put in the kit yet, but apparently I'm going to need a new,
That's a pretty small bag for everything that you had in it. So, I mean, that's good. That shows a lot of the viewers and stuff like that, the type of equipment that you can carry on you without adding a crazy amount of weight. So right there alone showed Cat's tourniquet. So we have a way and a means to cut off blood flow if we need to save an extremity or a limb. You've shown splinting, which is a good way for a broken bone or something if you need to protect a limb. And then you've also shown combat gauze. You've shown, that we need to check our medical kits on a regular basis to make sure that all the equipment is going to function properly. So I like when something unexpected happens like that, for the simple fact that it shows real world situations. Now, if that would have happened in a situation where, you know, you're actually providing medical treatment to somebody and it snaps, you'll still find a way. You got to secure it one way or the other. But I mean, it was good to see that, you know what I mean? It happens, especially if your adrenaline's going and you're trying to stop the bleed quickly, or you're trying to do medical treatment in a stressful environment. That very well could happen. So it's not perfect. Medical equipment's not perfect, especially stuff that you're carrying on you. But he had other means of stuff in his IFAC to where if that broke and was completely unusable, that he could move on to something else and still do what he needed to do to take care of either himself or someone that's with him while being wounded. So if you're new to the show, Jax is prior military, will still technically active.
Technically under contract.
Still under contract, for,
2 years.
This is all stuff that he learned in a military setting. The IFAC that I showed on a previous live stream show that we did was my personal IFAC that I carry on my plate carrier. Doesn't have nearly as much stuff as what he just showed there. I have your basic IFAC, and then of course I carry multiple tourniquets when I'm going to do anything like that. But I mean, you're seeing it from a military standpoint, you're seeing it from a civilian side, and everything that he just showed right there completely falls under the civilian side too. It's not something that you just use during a military mission or when you're, you know, taking fire under combat. These are things that could be used at the range. These are things that could be used while hunting, hiking, camping, multiple different things. I think one thing that you left out and I left out too, but I carry it in my IFAC, and what I'm referring to is a signal mirror. We talked about redundancy when it comes to methods of fire, flint. You know, you got flint matches, hurricane matches, butane torch, lighters. There's different methods to start a fire, and if you start a big enough one, of course, you're going to create a bunch of smoke, and essentially you've made a signal, right? You could even take a chem stick or something and some 550 cord, break your chem stick, tie the other end with your 550 cord, and spin it in a pretty big circle fast enough. You can make a signal at night if you needed to that way to try to, you know, get people to find you. But the little item that I was talking about that should be in both of our IFACs is a signal mirror. They're small, they're compact, they're like credit card sized. And if you hold it in the right spot and you got enough sunlight out, you could actually start fires with it.
So yeah, and you know, speaking of starting fires, you know, I do have means of that, not tucked away in the IFAC, but it's definitely tucked away in my EDC bag. So, you know, signal mirror is definitely something I would agree having in your IFAC too, because you never know, you know, what your circumstances are going to be, for lack of a better term, downrange.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, the IFAC isn't the only pouch that you should be carrying on a plate carrier. You should have means of cleaning up water, means of fire. You could fit a space blanket in there. You know, he kept his in his IFAC. I keep one in my IFAC. But there's a lot of things that can be carried that's small that can be very, very useful. And just regular day-to-day situations. We talked about one time where, say, you're overlanding or something and your tire pops and you don't have a way to fix it or whatever the case may be, and you have to hunker down and try to wait it out until somebody comes to get you. Well, if you don't have these type of items, are you really going to be okay, though? And that's ultimately what we're trying to push, is the fact that if you create a situation to where you have your basic needs for at least a couple of days, I like 72-hour packs. I want to have at least 3 days worth of food that I don't have to burn a lot of energy to get, because in the event that it comes down to my 72-hour pack is gone, now I start having to burn my energy and live off the land and those type of means. But you don't want to start yourself off in a situation where it's like Naked and Afraid, that show where they literally start with nothing but like an axe or something, you know, because now you're foraging for food. You got to create shelter. You got to do all these things. Plus your protein levels and energy levels are going down because you weren't prepared for it. You don't want to start an emergency situation off that way. You want to be as prepared as possible. So very good that we had that IFAC on there. I think that's a big thing, so I appreciate you showing that.
Hey, not a problem, brother.
All right, let's move into some Pro 2A news. So I'm going to tread lightly with how I word things here. Once again, you can see in our description, we have a disclaimer for any and all materials used on this live stream is for educational and media purposes. I am going to share my screen and we'll get into today's Pro 2A news. So give me 1 second. All right. Mr. Grandmaster J, the leader of NFAC militia that demonstrated in Louisville, arrested on federal charges. So let's get into this a little bit. Okay. So the leader of NFAC, a militia that demonstrated in Louisville during last summer's social unrest, was arrested Thursday on federal charges. Commonly referred to as Grandmaster J, was charged with assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers or employees, according to court documents. Johnson is accused of pointing a rifle at a Louisville Metro police officers as well as federal officers on September 4th, the night before the 2020 Kentucky Derby, according to a probable cause affidavit. The alleged incident took place just after 8:30 p.m. as officers were conducting surveillance over demonstrators at Jefferson Square in downtown Louisville. So, were you able to hear me, Jack?
Yeah, I was. I heard you loud and clear.
Okay, I'm not sure if my voice was talking while I was showing that screen or not. But basically, Grandmaster J got arrested because he had pointed a rifle, was resisting arrest and impeding police officers from doing their jobs. Let's watch this video here.
Stay strong, Louisville.
This fight isn't over.
And we need you now more than ever. So stay strong for your friends.
For your family.
Stay strong for Louisville. For COVID-19 resources and more, visit staystronglouisville.com.
The leader of the NFAC, a black militia group that made its presence known in Louisville this summer, is now facing a federal charges. WDRB's Hayden Rostevsky explains what he's accused of doing here that landed him behind bars. Hayden?
Fallon, this man might look familiar to you. He's known as Grandmaster Jay, the leader of the NFAC militia group, but his real name is John Fitzgerald Johnson. Johnson and his group marched in Louisville twice this summer amid protests over police killing of Breonna Taylor. The militia was last here on Derby weekend demonstrating outside of Churchill Downs, but Johnson's charges stem from the night before the Kentucky Derby. The FBI says these photos show Johnson pointing his AR platform rifle at several police officers on the roof of a building. Those officers were from the FBI, the U.S. Secret Service, and LMPD. This happened near Jefferson Square Park. Law enforcement officers were stationed on rooftops downtown most nights of the protests. Johnson is now facing a charge of assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers. The maximum sentence is up to 20 years in federal prison. Johnson is currently being held at the Oldham County Jail. And in a news release, U.S. Attorney Russell Coleman said Kentucky reveres First and Second Amendment freedoms, not foolishness, which puts police and protesters at risk. Hayden
Rostevsky,
WDRB News.
So, once again, I'm going to tread very lightly on what I say here. For me, I think that dude was an idiot. For me, NFAC stands for Needs Firearm Classes. look, there's been so many memes and different posts out there about NFAC that is just ridiculous. Like, you see him walking around with some rifles that have failure to feeds and magazines not properly put in and different things. And it's, these are the people that are giving pro to a good law-abiding citizens in a position to where we might possibly have to face gun control laws in a big way. So when I see this, it upsets me. Once again, I'm trying to tread lightly on what I say, just because we are being broadcasted on platforms that have guidelines. And then, of course, sponsors and stuff like that, we don't want to say anything to misrepresent them. My personal opinion, now I'm speaking only for myself, not for the sponsors or anything along those lines. I personally feel like this is justified. If any person is pointing a firearm at a police officer for any reason, you're going to get in trouble. And you should be, rightfully so, unless it's a self-defense situation, which it's a police officer, so you better tread lightly on the decisions that you make. It's one of those things where Grandmaster Jay has made a lot of threats and did a lot of things that he should not have. So he's justified in everything that came upon him, I believe. And he's giving the Pro 2A community a very bad rap, because you don't see me running around with ARs out in the middle of the streets and trying to do all that. My fight is against, you know, defunding police and fighting against the gun laws that are trying to be imposed upon us to infringe on our constitutional rights. But I'm doing that the smart way. I'm not doing that in an idiotic fashion as some of these groups are doing. I support gun groups. So your NRA, your USCCA, these different organizations that have lawyers that deal with these type of things, that understand civil law and can fight that fight on a level that I cannot. That is how I support and how I make a difference. And then, of course, it comes down to when you vote. of course, you know, with the politics and everything that's going on and voting either Trump or Biden, whatever, doesn't matter who you decided to vote for. But if you are a pro to a member and you're a part of that community and you enjoy the right to be able to bear arms, the voting needs to start at the state level, right? Starts at the state, then it moves up into your legislative and House of Representatives and Senate and all that before it even gets to the president. You want to make change in this world, you need to vote at your state level because those are the ones who directly represent you. So if you vote someone in on your state level who is anti-gun, what do you think is going to happen when bigger votes come? When our electoral votes are being posted, where do you think the votes are going to land? It's not going to land in the pro-2A community's favor if you vote in someone who's anti-gun on the state level. So keep that in mind. That's my little piece on pro-2A news. I think Grandmaster Jay got what he had coming to him. And any other group that's I would consider domestic terrorists, I would say, is a proper term for what was going on in that scenario. There's a lot of us that are pro-gun that are not running around causing these problems. But of course, like you learned as a child, guilty by association, unfortunately, we're all being looked at now more severely because of groups like this doing what they're doing. There's nothing wrong with training and getting good with your firearms and with your medical tactics and everything else. But running around in the streets, doing what they were doing, is not going to get us there. First of all,
I do have an alibi after your first of all.
Go ahead.
All right.
An alibi is the wrong term. I'm just letting you know, by the way.
Well, alibi is what we use as a piggybacking service. So, well, I'll explain that on Thursday night show. But anywho, when it comes down to Grandmaster Jay or John Johnson, you know, I've been keeping an eye on this, and I'm sure you and Griff and the rest of our crew have been doing the same. From the very beginning of it, you said need firearm classes? No. Not fire at cops.
Yeah.
It should have done. You know, and I mean, realistically, he deserves everything he's got coming to him. All the terroristic threats, stopping traffic, just because the person behind the wheel of the vehicle was white American male or white American female, you know, whatever. I've seen videos where they've actually threatened people's lives just for being white driving down the road.
Yeah, but it doesn't even come down to race. I don't care what color you are. It's a matter of being a good citizen and a good human being, or being an idiotic citizen that makes poor choices. I'm sorry. If I'm driving on the road, which I pay taxes for, to use by registering my vehicle and everything else that I'm doing, I have rights to that road. If you're in the road and you're blocking my forward progress, I'll say, and you're in a large group, and I can tell you have weapons and everything else, immediately I take that as a threat upon my life. And, you know, it's not a good situation. So to me, once again, that falls in the domestic terrorist category of the crap that they're pulling. Now, you have a protest, and you got a permit, and you've got all these things going on where you're blocking the streets legally, fine. I need to turn around and go the other way. But if you're getting on the freeway and blocking the road with no permit and no viable, liable, legal reason of being there, that is a threat upon my life. Right. And I've seen cops drive through crowds because they had to and everything else, and I don't feel bad for those people. You're making a choice. There's one thing in life that we can all agree upon is every single person has the ability to make a choice. You can make a good choice or you can make a bad choice, but there is a consequence for every choice that you make. And the choices that were made by these people in this group and other groups like it are making their choices and they have to live with the consequences of what happens in the aftermath of what's going on.
Right. And again, you know, no, it's not about race, but with the way they approached it, marching and protesting, they were making it about race. So that's why I was just, you know, touching on that too. And so, yes, not only would I consider it domestic terrorism, but I consider it reverse racism in a way, because they don't even know these people. These people could be, you know, working in the medical field, saving lives and everything else like that for all they know. And they're threatening their life all because of the color of their skin, because the situation that they're marching for had to deal with, in their eyes, a racial situation.
Right. And I'm definitely not okay with that. And I don't think you're okay with that. And I don't think the listeners are okay with that. It's one of those things where it should not be happening in our country. Men like you and others in the military have fought for this country to be the greatest country in the world. And unfortunately, there are citizens out there that are doing dumb things and making us look like we're not the greatest country in the world. I got one message for anybody who is not happy with the way the USA is and should be ran, and the laws and constitutional rights that we all have. If you don't like it, move. We don't want you. If you're not going to be patriotic towards your country and do something every single day to better yourself, better your country, better your city, your community, why? Why be here at all? If you hate it so much, then leave. Wait, why don't you leave? Because if you go somewhere else that has other laws, you can go move to a place that's communistic, right? You got rules, curfews, can't do what you want, can't have religious freedoms, can't have the right of choice, the right of freedom of speech. The stuff that you're doing here and the same rules that gives us this platform to talk about what we're talking about on is your First Amendment, the freedom of speech, right? Other countries don't have that. You start talking at a turn like you do on Facebook and the memes that you make and everything else, and, oh, I hate America because of this and da-da-da-da-da. Try that in a place that doesn't have that as a law. There's countries where you steal something, they'll cut your hand off or kill you or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? Here, right. You commit a crime like that, could it lead to death? Yes. Is that the result by our justice system? No. You get locked up, you get put in jail, and then you get set free again. There's more permanent consequences that can happen for your actions in different countries. So once again, if you don't like America, I'll happily show you the way out of the country if you'd like. I can pull up a map right now and show you different borders that lead to different countries. Feel free to leave if you don't like our country. But let's move on into the next topic here. And this is your topic. Let's talk about some USA news.
Indeed. So let's see here. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen just so you guys can see what I'm seeing. All right. So it says cops nab alleged drug kingpin who assumed identity of a dead infant. Howard Farley Jr., who spent 35 years on the run, was arrested in a tiny town in Florida as he was attempting to board his private plane in the hangar at his home. Federal agents arrested a man who was described by prosecutors as an alleged drug kingpin after he applied for a passport using the identity of a dead infant, authorities said. Howard Farley Jr., 72, had eluded police for more than 35 years after he was charged with running a sprawling drug operation that utilized the Southern Line Railroad system. He was the only one among 74 defendants who was not apprehended after a Nebraska grand jury returned an indictment in 1985. But Farley's time on the run ended Tuesday when agents showed up at his home in the 3,000-person town of Weirsdale, Florida. The agents arrested him as he was attempting to board a private plane in a hangar at his home, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Middle District of Florida. Now, here's a photo of him in 1998, photo of him in 2008, and photo of him this year in 2020. Surprisingly, for being 70-some-odd years old, the man, and this isn't me, you know, defending him or backing him at period. All I'm saying is, for being 72 years old, he aged pretty well.
Yep.
Farley was charged with passport fraud. He won't face charges related to the original drug case. A spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Nebraska confirmed to NBC News that the indictment was dropped 7 years ago. No further information was provided. Federal investigators tracked down Farley after he submitted a passport application in February using the name, date of birth, and social security number of an infant not related to him who died in 1955. The child, identified by the initials TB, was from Lake Worth and died at the age of 3 months, according to the criminal complaint. Investigators discovered that Farley had used the dead infant's identity when he applied for passports in 87, 98, and 2008, the complaint said. He also used it to obtain a driver's license and a fraudulent pilot's license, according to the complaint.
Yep. That's crazy, man. You know, the world is a crazy place, and it's sad to see things along those lines, you know, but the world does what it does, unfortunately. Man does what man does, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, in this case that we just went across, it's funny, you know, that after 35 years of being on the run, he was finally apprehended.
Yep.
Number one, and you know, and this isn't necessarily the cop's fault, but, you know, they definitely could have been, especially if he's an alleged drug king. You know, come on. I mean, you got to do your research on the guy and keep tabs on him from point A to point B.
Always. But, all right, let's move into our last little segment here. It is our open Q&As. Looks like we've got a couple of viewers. Is there anything that you guys would like to talk about? If you do, leave a comment. We'd love to interact with you guys and go over anything that maybe you saw in today's show or previous shows or just general questions. It could be gun related. It could be medical related when it comes to medical items. Obviously, we're not doctors, but some of the stuff we have training in, and of course, we're always going to be honest. If it's something that we don't know anything about, I'm not going to try to act like I know what I'm talking about and tell you something that's inaccurate. We are a channel where, A, we're not going to be filtered when it comes to the content that we put out. And like you saw earlier in the show, if you were watching when we were talking about Grandmaster J, I spoke from my own opinion. And of course, you know, I respect our sponsors and the people that we've shouted out. So I don't ever want to misrepresent them in any way. But when I do speak and I say it's my opinion, it is my opinion and solely my opinion. So we're not going to be filtered in any way. If there's something going on that we feel needs to be talked about, we like to talk about it. So if anybody out there has anything that they want to talk about, just leave a comment and we'll be happy to go over any of that stuff with you.
Indeed. And, you know, while we give it a couple minutes here for the people to chime in, I'll personally say, you know, I will agree with Wes when it comes down to it. We respect our sponsors, but we're not going to provide false information or fall into the category of being a yes man to the general public's ideal of what everybody should think. You know, again, First Amendment right, freedom of speech. your First Amendment rights protected by your Second Amendment. Welcome to the show. Here you are. You know, when it comes down to it, we said this on, what was it, Thanksgiving special, that we're not going to cut corners or sugarcoat something just to please everybody and their mom out there and pamper them. So what you're getting here on both of our channels is raw, uncut, you know, unscripted thought process and reactions to certain things that we come across, especially with the news and our gear reviews and things of that nature.
Well, the captions or the agenda items that you see pop up, of course, that part's scripted because we lay out a show for the viewers. We want to have a platform where these are staple content items like the CLS training, the tactical gear item, Pro 2A news, some USA news. But most of the time, it's happening live in front of you. And what I mean by most of the time is when we pull up something and we share a screen, I don't know what he's about to show. And he doesn't know what I'm about to show. Once we get into that conversation, the conversation's real. It's not scripted. The conversations we have are very, very real. We lay out our topics, and throughout the week, we're picking what we're going to do. And we meet up 30 minutes before the show, make sure that technical issues aren't going to happen, and then we start the show. And what's said during said showtime is real. It's unscripted, and we like to keep it that way. Like, perfect example, we had no idea his IFAC was going to fall apart in the middle of the show, a gear item, you know. I said to him right before I hit go live, hey, man, you better go get your IFAC. Literally, he put his jacket on, walked outside to his car, got it, came in, sat down, and we hit the go button. So none of that was set up. That actually just happened, and I'm glad it did happen. It led to good conversation, and it led to real-world situations. You don't know if something's going to go wrong. And, of course, we're not trying to look like goofs on the middle of the live stream, you know, when something breaks when we're trying to talk about something in a demonstration facet. But if something doesn't happen to go wrong, then it's like, okay, this was pre-set. You don't know. You know what I mean? When something's going to happen. And I thought that was great. I almost laughed, to be honest with you, because I was like, oh, crap, this doesn't look very good. You know, your thing just broke and awesome.
Well, you know, you almost have to laugh at it in a way because it's not a actual scenario where I needed it to work the way that it's designed to work. And even in that kind of a situation, if something like that happens, like you said earlier, there's other gear in that IFAC that you can use as a makeshift tie down. And so realistically, I'm not glad it happened. I'm glad it happened to show you that, hey, you know, medical gear sometimes, you know, gets old, or from time to time things are going to break on you, and in the heat of the moment you're going to have to improvise. So you got to make sure, especially when you're putting together your IFAC, what I usually do, and granted I've had this IFAC for about 4 months now, I usually do a, you know, 6 month check just to make sure gear's not expired, and that it's still up to date and ready to rock and roll in case a situation ever arose where I needed to use that gear downrange, whether it's, you know, somebody falls down, scrapes a knee, or I'm walking outside of Walmart and I've got my bag on me in the car and somebody just happens to be shot in the parking lot because they're getting robbed.
Right. Exactly. All right. So I am going to go back to some shout outs and sponsors real quick. Once again, Controlled Pair Munitions, 7350 West Cheyenne Avenue, Suite 106. They're open 7 days a week. I personally will be there today around noon. I start at noon, so if you guys want to come down, check out the shop, you got any questions or anything like that, I will personally be there to help you. We've got some new guns in the shop. We've got some new gear in. We got some new stuff going on down there. And then, of course, during the week, I do live stream shows from the shop where I'm showing what's in the store, and I'm trying to get as many videos up on individual guns, talking about just that one gun. Can't hold guns in a live stream, so you won't see any of that. But as you can see, I've got guns behind me, so I'm able to talk about it, point at them, talk about it, stuff like that. But actual individualized videos will be up on the Controlled Paramunitions Facebook, where you'll see a particular gun that we have in the shop, and I talk a little bit about it, what caliber it's chambered in, who the manufacturer is, country of origin, stuff like that. So a lot of those videos are going to be coming out very soon as well. We've got like three of them up now on the Controlled Paramunitions Facebook. They're also on the Sin City Tactical Facebook and YouTube as well for Sin City Tactical. So check that stuff out as well. You can also get a lot of the content on the Minnesota Overlanders Facebook and or the YouTube for Minnesota Overlanders as well. And then, oh, good point. Let me
grab that real quick.
I just reminded him of something. You know, I mean, again, as he was saying, on Thursday nights, there's a show on my channel, Minnesota Overlanders, and we have a start time of 7 p.m. usually. I know last week's show started a little later at 7:30, but I was trying to get things lined up for the show, and technical difficulties were getting sorted out. So it started just a smidge late, but, you know, I mean, hey, these things are going to happen, but the quality of the content that we do provide you guys is, you know, as it is and run live. So
exactly. Okay. So what he brought up to me was TacPac, and I forgot to bring this up. This is, November.
We did October.
Yeah. Okay. No, I don't think I did October's. Yeah, no, it's November's. It's November's TacPac, and I'll get into this with you a little bit. Okay, so TacPac is a subscription service. They send out gear every month for a subscription fee. If you use my code SCTactical, you'll get a free mystery grab bag on your first order of a TacPac. Christmas box is supposed to have over $305 worth of stuff in it. So that one I'm looking forward to getting. Every time they'll send you a card that has the items inside, and it talks about it a little bit. The November pack, I'm not going to lie, was a little weak in my opinion. But every other box that I've gotten has been pretty good. So let's get into it a little bit. First item they sent me was Quick Wipes. It's a 12-pack. They're gun cleaning wipes. So extra durable wipes that works two times better than the leading competitor. Cleans, lubricates, and protects your firearms. It's made from made by Breakthrough, which when you come into the store at Controlled Paramunitions, we sell the Breakthrough line in lubricants, grease, military cleaning solvents, and a bunch of stuff. So Breakthrough, really good quality brand. I'm glad that they sent this. I didn't know that they had wipes, so that's new to me. I might talk to Jared, the owner of the store, and see, clean a couple of guns when we're there, because we do gunsmithing there at the gun shop too. So we do gunsmithing and gun cleaning. So if you have a firearm that you don't feel like cleaning, or you need something fixed, or you want something put on, you can bring that to us and we'll take care of it for you. So I might test those out at the gun shop and record some videos, do like a product review on it and see how well they work. Second item that they sent is, let's see, a UDC or Ultimate Dust Cover Door. It is a polymer, which is pretty cool. It's actually pretty thick, and it comes with the long pin. It comes with the springs, and it comes with the dust cover door itself. I might throw that on a rifle here soon, so that's kind of cool. This one came in black. It looks like they have a flag one and stuff like that too. So UDC or Ultimate Dust Cover Door. Check that out. The next item that they sent is a rail wrap. And this is by Burn Proof Gear. rail wrap, up to 1,000 degrees, full auto rated. And that's obviously just the bag. I'll show you what it is. It's a little sleeve like this that you put over your handguard when you're shooting. So like your AR pistols that are smaller that shoot like 5.56, 7-inch barrel, I've noticed, gets really hot, especially if you don't have like a linear compensator on the end to throw the gas away from you. And that barrel is going to get super hot. So you can run this over top of your handguard. And what I like about this one, at least, is the sides here where that elastic is. I could still get an angled foregrip in there if I needed to be able to run that. So that's pretty cool. It's like a little handguard sock to help protect your hands. So that's pretty awesome. And then I've actually gotten two of these now from TacPack, and I'm not upset about it. Actually, it's not really that bad of a box. It just had a little bit less stuff in it than I thought. They've sent us out another AR-500 steel, X-steel targets. So it's like a 6-inch or 6.5-inch AR-500 steel. It's about 1/2-inch thick. So I have like 4 of these now, plus one that I got from the gun store, which we do have a bunch of the steel targets. We've got pretty big silhouette targets. We've got reactive steel targets. We've got little steel targets that are in the shape of a silhouette. They're like this big, and it looks like a little body, which is pretty cool. So now I've got like 3 or 4 of them, which just means my range that I decide to build out in the desert when I go to shooting, I can set up different steel targets, different locations, different depths from where I'm shooting from. And I'll be able to hear an audible noise when I hit, which I think is always more fun than shooting paper targets, at least, because this I can hear a ring. And of course, let's be honest, right? We can all be super proficient with shooting paper and getting nice tight groupings and having a controlled pair of shots, which is awesome. And of course, that's really good for accuracy and making sure that you're going to be proficient with your firearm. But for me, I want to make sure I'm hitting my target every time. So steel allows me to hear an audible noise that bullet fired, bullet hit. I know it because I heard the ring. So that was the TAC pack for November. And yeah, use my code SC Tactical and you'll get a free mystery grab bag with your first order of TAC pack. If you're trying to get the December box, you need to order in the next like day or two. And you're going to have to send them an email saying you want the December box. If you don't, you won't get your first package until January, the January box. So hop on that, and it's TacPack.com is where you'll find that at.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. I totally spaced it. I got it the other day. Obviously, we weren't doing a show at that time, so I spaced it until right now. I had it out. It was close enough for me to grab. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no worries, brother.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap everything up here. I do got to get ready to head to the gun store. So anybody that's watching, there is a bunch of ammo in stock. Come on down, come see me, and we'll get you taken care of. But Mr. Jax always likes to leave us with a positive message. So I'll let him take it away.
Yeah. So, you know, as you've seen in the show, gear broke on me, but when it really comes down to it, you're ever in that situation, just keep in mind those IFACs always have extra things in there that you can improvise with, and don't be afraid to improvise. I would rather you improvise and save a life than not improvise and worry about whether that person's going to make it out alive or not.
Absolutely. Well, all right, everybody. Thank you. That was awesome. I hit the button too soon. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you checking us out. Sin City Tactical, Minnesota Overlanders. We're live every Saturday. The Minnesota Overlander Show live on Thursdays. Stay tuned for that. And once again, come on down to the gun store and we'll get you taken care of. And thank you for that positive message, sir. And we'll catch you guys next time.